This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Back with you for a second straight date right here on the Hoffman Show, right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, will take you up to 6:45 Wizards basketball on tap tonight right here on the Team 980. First game out of the All-Star break for the Wizards. We let you hear from Chris Middleton yesterday, still awaiting word as to whether or not him and or Marcus Smart will be in the starting lineup tonight. We did find out they both will be active, so we'll get to see the debut of the two newest Wizards. But a lot to get to here in the next 2.5 hours. Our pal Chase Hughes, who covers the Wizards for the Monumental Sports Network, going to join us live on location coming up at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. We'll continue to take a look ahead at this Commanders offseason as we get you geared up for the NFL Scouting Combine next week. Really good conversation yesterday with Joe DeLeon, the head draft analyst for A to Z Sports, giving us the latest on what this potential draft class could look like on both the offensive side and the defensive side of the football. Joel Corey, one of the best cap gurus in the National Football League, joined B. Mitch and Finley earlier today on The Fan. We'll let you hear from Joel. Gave his thoughts on what type of money it is going to take to keep both Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner in the burgundy and gold coming up next year. We obviously know how impactful they were on their one-year deals last year. It really feeds the conversation that we were having yesterday. Can Adam Peters in this Commanders front office replicate last year's offseason success from the draft? We hit that heavy yesterday. Today, we'll get an in-depth look at free agency as well, continuing to spin things around the Beltway. Didn't mention it yesterday, but I want to give shout out to the Georgetown Hoyas, man, and the effort that they gave the other night against Providence. It was Coach Ed Cooley's first win against Providence since coming to Georgetown. And once again, condolences to the Cooley family losing his mother late last week. So, you know, just watching that group perform the way that they did the other night in honor of Ed Cooley was really special to see. Keeping it on local college basketball, if you are not paying attention to what is happening right now in College Park with the Terps, I think you're missing the boat. Last night, Terps big winners at home versus USC, their 13th straight win at the Xfinity Center. All five starters in double figures last night for the sixth time. I didn't realize that. That's the most in the country, so it kind of speaks to what is happening in the resurgence going on right there in College Park. Kevin Willard having those guys play their asses off right now, man. It's been cool to watch the production we're seeing out of the other guys, right? It felt like the big story coming into this year was what type of play would you get out of your star-studded freshman, Derek Queen. He's been awesome, but you're starting to see it, right? Now all five starters in double figures. Rodney Rice led the way with 22 last night, and I said it to start the show yesterday. Maryland looks like a team, and maybe they fall apart down the stretch. They've got two really big matchups coming up next week against 14th-ranked Michigan State. Then they travel to Ann Arbor to take on 12th-ranked Michigan on March the 5th. So maybe they fall off here down the stretch, but they have all of the makings right now of a team that is going to do big-time damage in the month of March. When you have the ability to defend the way that they do, when you've got the scoring punch that they've got off the bench, when you've got multiple guys in your starting lineup that can go for 20 on any given night, you're going to have a really good shot to advance in the NCAA tournament. Kevin Willett was talking last night post-game about why this team is so special. And he joked that I could throw it down in the post anytime I want to because Derek Queen does a phenomenal job down low. And then when you've got the ability to play inside-out basketball the way Maryland can with the shooters on the perimeter, you're going to be a tough out. I expect this group, and we don't know what they're going to look like from a seeding perspective, but I expect this group to go on a run in the NCAA tournament. Maybe it's the homer in me. Maybe it is. But I don't know if you all have heard about this. They've got a nickname. I love nicknames. I know how I feel about brands and things of that nature. The Crab Five. It ain't terrible. It ain't the best nickname. But as long as they're knocking down shots from the perimeter the way that they have been, last night it was 8 of 20 from the great beyond, shooting 40%. As long as they're continuing to lace the net from deep, man, it's going to be, I can call them whatever they want. Crab Five, Fab Five, whatever you want to be, man. It's been awesome to see that group perform. Matt Norlander of CBS Sports did an incredible feature on Terps big man Derek Queen for CBSSports.com, and the headline that got my attention, it said, this is from Kevin Willard, he said, quote, if he was European and white, he'd be the first overall pick in the draft, talking about Derek Queen. The fact that they were able to land Derek Queen, I think is huge. For years, you all have heard me come on the airwaves and talk about, man, why can't we keep any of our star-studded local talent here in the DMV area? Baltimore native Derek Queen trying to change that narrative as he continues to go on a tear as the Terps get ready for the month of March. Nats open up spring training tomorrow. I know that's something that's got everybody around the DMV excited. They take on the Astros. You can actually hear that right here on the Team 980 as they get geared up for their first game of the Grapefruit League. Found out earlier today, Jake Irving set to get the start for Davey Martinez's bunch. It's something that we'll discuss throughout the duration of spring training. Who is going to be the opening day starter for the Washington Nationals? There are a lot of questions, I would say, facing that organization right now, and I think a lot of them get answered during spring training. I continue to be excited about some of the offseason additions, and I know there was a lot of discussion and conversation about, oh, they didn't spend enough money, and oh, why weren't they more active when it comes to going out and spending money this winter in free agency. Anybody out there that is upset about the lack of money the Nats have spent, one, have you been paying attention to this group? This is who they have been for a while now here, right? They're a group that doesn't have a deep payroll. They're not going to go out and break the bank to acquire talent. But I do think this national season is about the growth and development of the young pups. First full year of James Wood in the big leagues. First full year of Dylan Cruz in the big league. We saw the type of leap C.J. Abrams was able to make last year at the plate. You hope that the young Nats can continue to play good baseball here as we enter spring training. The other thing that a lot of folks are worried about, or talking about rather, with that group, hashtag sell the team. I know there are people that are disappointed in the lack of spending from the Lerner family. It's led to that crazy hashtag online. We'll see, you know, as they move throughout the early portion of the season, whether or not, you know, they didn't need to go out and spend big money, man. Add Nathaniel Lowe, I continue to believe, is something that is an underrated, shrewd move from this organization, and it's going to help them in the long run. When you've got 3, 4, 5 in your lineup with the ability to give you pop like that, I think you're going to end up being just fine. 1:05 first pitch tomorrow right here on the Team 980 as the Nationals open up their spring training slate. I know Chris Russell was talking a lot about this during the first hour of his show. The epic finish last night to the Four Nations finale as Canada beat the United States 3-2 in overtime. Was reading this on ESPN. So on Friday morning, earlier this morning, BetMGM and DraftKings reported that the Four Nations face-off championship game was their most bet hockey event of all time by total tickets. So anyone out there trying to tell you that, you know, people aren't paying attention to hockey, the betting numbers from the championship game last night definitely reflect the type of interest that there is. I keep having this conversation all the time. Will the NHL be able to capitalize off of this momentum when they get into the second half of their regular season? I'd be curious to see how the TV numbers look nationally, how the TV numbers look regionally when it comes to this group, when it comes to this league, rather, talking about the NHL as they move into the second half of the season. But I thought I'd share that nugget with you, man. So ESPN Bet said that the game fell just short of its betting record. That was put in stone last year in the Stanley Cup final, game seven between Edmonton and Florida. But look, it's good to have these numbers now, but I think the bigger beneficiary ultimately to me is going to be the NHL in the second half of the season. Can they capitalize off of the interest that currently exists right now with hockey? We'll see, man. We will see. NBA was back last night. Me and Ant-Man talked about that before we let you all go yesterday. I always say this about the second half of the season. I think Ant mentioned this on the show. To me, for all of the old heads out there that complain about, oh, there's too many three-point shots being taken. Oh, the effort level isn't good enough throughout the first half of the season. Playoff basketball, and then the second half of the season, post-All-Star break, right, is when you really, really get to see the effort get ratcheted up. And we saw some monster performances last night. When I say hour goat, I'm talking about me and Ant. Ant, you can chime in on this. Is LeBron James your goat?
Yes, man. He is
okay,
my goat.
Good. Thank you.
But
glad
it does,
you are, go ahead.
It does pain me, though, to just to realize that LeBron is the reason, you know, the All-Star game isn't as lit, the skills challenges. Like, stars don't want to compete in All-Star weekend. Like, LeBron is definitely the reason behind. I think Michael Jordan, Kobe, I think all the stars back in the day, even Dwayne Wade, I saw some highlights of him in the skills challenge, and he won it one year and then came back the next year and won it again. So it's just like those stars made it cool, and then LeBron was like, eh, I don't want to do it anymore, and it's because he lost.
So I'll say this, right? The stardom of LeBron James, I think, is bigger than the stardom of the other guys that are talking about participating in this thing. I get the type of influence that he could potentially have, but it's not on LeBron James for the rest of the NBA to go out and compete in All-Star Weekend. I keep saying it. You can't revive something that's been dead for this long. So anybody that's upset about the lack of participation in All-Star Weekend, I use the Grizzlies for an example. Everyone clamoring for Ja Morant. Imagine if Ja Morant goes out and twisted his ankle during the dunk contest during All-Star Weekend. How pissed would you be as a Grizzlies fan if the second half of the season you're without your star cat? I know people are going to say, oh, when do people ever get hurt? It only takes one. It only takes one. NBA was back in full swing last night, though, as I mentioned. Some big-time performances. We were just talking about LeBron James. Not 20, not 25, not 30. A 40 ball last night from King James as the Lakers down the Blazers. Austin Reeves dropped 32 in that one as well. So the Lakers doing what they can to maintain that fifth seed in the Western Conference. Karl Anthony Towns and the Knicks needing overtime to get over the Bulls. Cat with a big performance, 32 points, 18 rebounds. Nikola Jokic went Kanye crazy last night. Damn near had a triple-double, 29 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists. So big, big return last night in the association as you saw the league's top stars go off and do their thing. So, yes, the NBA is back, including the Washington Wizards. Their first game post-All-Star break. We're live out here at Section 106 at Capital One Arena ahead of Wizards and Bucks. Get to see the young pups tonight. We also get to see the Wizard debut of Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart, the two veterans that were acquired before the trade deadline. Bucks on the second night of a back-to-back. We'll see what type of energy they have tonight at Capital One Arena. The unsung storyline that I'm going to keep talking about, and I'll reference it throughout the night, it's the return of Kyle Kuzma. Fox Newsma, some people like to call him. Shout out our super producer, Mad Max. 301-230-0980, the number right here on the Hoffman Show. Youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, sitting in for Craig Hoffman. He's back with you on Tuesday. We'll take our first time out of the afternoon. When we come back, we'll get hot and heavy into the Washington Commanders. We had a big-time discussion yesterday in terms of what is next. Can they replicate last year's offseason success? When we come back, I want to take a look as what does being aggressive look like this offseason for the Washington Commanders. We'll discuss all that and more coming up next. This is the Team 980. Welcome back to the Hoffman Show, Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, sitting in for Craig Hoffman. We'll take you up to 645. If you're just getting off work, you're looking for something to do, come join us live out at Cap One Arena. Wizards and Bucks, as the Wizards play in their first game after the All-Star break. We'll get to see the debut of the newest Wizards, Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart. Definitely excited for that. Top of the 6 o'clock hour, Chase Hughes, who covers the Wizards for the Monumental Sports Network, going to join us live out on location as we try to sort through what is next for the D.C. family here in the second half of the season. A lot more to get to here in the show. I want to talk a little bit of Nationals later on in the show. We got some Nats news moments ago from Mark Zuckerman of Masson.com. Davey Martinez, the Nats manager, confirming C.J. Abrams going to be the Nats' leadoff hitter to begin the season. I know there was some thoughts towards whether or not that was going to happen or not, but C.J. Abrams looking to, you know, capitalize off of his big season last year. Thought he was much better at the plate. Had some defensive woes, but offensively the bat was hot. So Davey Martinez announcing that moments ago. We'll get to see if we can get Mark Zuckerman on of Masson to get us a little spring training preview as the Nats open up their Grapefruit League schedule tomorrow. You can hear that right here on the Team 980. Right now I want to continue to get into the Washington Commanders. I keep saying it every time I crack the mic. This to me is the most pivotal offseason for Washington of this rebuild. I know last year was huge. You drafted your rookie quarterback. You tried to set the foundation of what you're going to be for years to come. But this offseason is about capitalizing, right? Can you build off of the momentum? First conference championship appearance since 1991. First 12-win season since 1991. How do you build off that? And the one thing that you continue to hear folks saying is when you look at Washington, they've got the third most cap space in the National Football League. How will they use it? Will they be aggressive? And what I want to discuss here in this 4 o'clock hour is how does Washington being aggressive, what does that look like, right? Is it them going out and bringing in a bunch of outhouse free agents the way that they did a season ago? Does it look like them being aggressive in the draft, trading up or trading back? To me, when I look at this offseason and free agency in particular, we talked about it yesterday. It's about building the core and the foundation of this roster, right? You outkicked your coverage in year number one under Adam Peters. You were better than what you were supposed to be. And for that reason, I think as you enter next season, you got the game's most important position figured out. But when you look at some of the ancillary pieces on this roster, the depth, the immediate backups, there are a lot of holes still. And how they fill those holes, to me, is going to determine how much success they're able to have this year. So when I look at what does being aggressive look like, I start with Washington's in-house free agents. They've got 28 unrestricted free agents of their own. How do you go about re-signing those guys? How many of those dudes do you choose to re-sign? Are there some guys that you're going to part ways with? This is why I continue to talk about it, man. This GM job that Adam Peters has ain't for the weak of heart. You're not going to make everybody happy with all of the decisions that you make. There are tough, difficult decisions that you're going to have to sort through between now and the start of training camp. And the first of which to me is how many of these guys that are your own free agents are you bringing back? I mentioned 28 unrestricted free agents for Washington. I want to go through it right here real quick. I've got 13 to 14 guys that I for sure am banging on the table for and saying, hey, under no circumstance am I not bringing these guys back. Obviously, right, there could potentially be situations where you get outpriced for a free agent. Let's just use Dante Fowler for an example, coming off a 10.5 sack season. Do you get outpriced for him coming up in free agency? But he's not one of the 13, just to give you a teaser. But these 13 guys I'm banging on the table for, and under no circumstance, unless they get outpriced, am I not bringing these guys back. I think these 13 guys are a part of the core fabric of this roster. Now, how many multi-year deals am I giving out? That still, to me, is to be determined. John Bates, to me, is one guy that I have to bring back. We talked yesterday for a good amount of time about Ben Sinnott and his disappointing rookie campaign. To me, because of what happened last year with Sinnott, and the report was a guy, Logan Paulson, co-host of the Take Command podcast, jumped on with John Kime of the John Kime Report and gave us the skinny. The reason Ben Sinnott didn't play the volume of snaps that we anticipated, the reason Ben Sinnott wasn't the key contributor that we anticipated him being, was because from the neck up, Ben Sinnott struggled. Alignment assignment. I was talking earlier with our program director, CK. I said, look, contrary to popular belief, I don't look at tight end as a position, at least in this offense, where you should be having mental struggles. We went through it yesterday. Do you not know what route you're running? Do you not know who you're supposed to block? Outside of that, like, I don't know how the tight end position can be mentally taxing. Now, I will say this, right? When you look at the tempo in which Washington played with last year offensively, maybe it was hard for Ben Sinnott to keep his head above water. But for that reason, John Bates, who a lot of folks in that building tout as the best blocking tight end of the National Football League, to me, I'm bringing him back. A guy like Noah Igbinoghene is somebody that for sure I'm probably going to bring back. Think about the production he was able to give you at the slot corner spot last year. Just a steady Eddie. Didn't hear his name called a whole lot. And think about how quickly Washington retooled their secondary. In training camp, right, who are the two outside corners? Who are the two outside corners? It was Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice, and it was supposed to be Mikey Samuelson in the slot. Well, after a while, it became pretty glaringly obvious, right, that, look, Emmanuel Forbes is probably not the guy. Benjamin St. Juice, probably not the guy. So it allowed them to kick Mikey Samuelson to the outside. You can't kick Mikey outside if you aren't confident in what Noah Igbinoghene was going to give you. I thought through the better part of 17 weeks, he gave you everything he had. Tackled well, was physical in a run game. I look at him as somebody that maybe he isn't your starting slot corner next year, right? The hope is, I would say, right, ideally, is that you're able to kick Mikey Samuelson still back inside. But you can have far worse options than Noah Igbinoghene being your fourth cornerback on your team. So he is somebody that I'm bringing back because you're one injury away from him getting inserted into your lineup. He already knows the defense. He's comfortable with what you all are doing. So that's a guy that for sure I'm bringing back. Another one of these unrestricted free agents that I'm banging on the table for, Cornelius Lucas. Cornelius Lucas, for my money, has been one of the better swing tackles in the National Football League over the past 3-4 seasons. Maybe there's a discussion internally about whether or not he's your right tackle going into next year, but push comes to shove, he's your swing tackle again next year, and I think it's a really solid signing for you if you're Washington. He is one of those guys that I think represent the new way of the Washington Commanders, right? Always available, works his tail off, maximum effort guy, does all the things right off the field. I think Cornelius Lucas is somebody that you should be banging on the table to bring back. But here's the thing with Corn Lucas, right? I keep saying it, and folks that I talk to around the National Football League agree with this. The tackle market in free agency is saturated, right? And that's to be expected. You don't get good quality offensive tackles in free agency. If Washington does let Cornelius Lucas hit the market, and I'm praying that they don't, he is going to have suitors. He will have teams that are knocking on his door to acquire his services. He, to me, is a guy that you bring back. Jeremy Chinn is somebody that I look at as a guy that, yeah, you got to figure something out with Jeremy Chinn. You think about the amount of snaps he played last year for this defense. I know it started off rough at the beginning of the season, but down the stretch, at about that halfway point, you really saw him turn a corner. At, what is he, 27 years old? I think he's got the potential to be one of the better safeties in the National Football League from here on out. His age, to me, is another thing that really makes him enticing. At 26, 27 years of age, he is another guy that, realistically speaking, can be a part of the core of your organization and your football team moving forward. I think he's another guy that's a tone setter. He's physical. He runs and hits. It's exactly what Joe Witt Jr. and company are looking for in this Commanders defense. To me, he's got to be back. We'll take a quick time out here real quick. We'll continue to go through this list talking about, you know, who the Washington Commanders should bring back next year. 28 unrestricted free agents heading into this offseason. How many of these guys do you bring back? Joel Corey, as I mentioned at the top of the show, cap expert, joined B. Mitch and Finley earlier today. He gave some interesting comments on how much it could potentially cost to bring back Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner. We'll let you hear from Joel Corey next, right here on the Team 980.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just get rolling here on the Hoffman Show right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Lino Willingham, sitting in for Craig Hoffman as we take you up to 6:45. Wizards basketball coming up after myself. The fellas playing their first game post-All-Star break. They play host to Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. If you're not doing anything, man, make your way out to Capital One Arena. We're posted up at Section 106, getting you ready for Wizards and Bucks. Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network going to join us top of the 6 o'clock hour to get his thoughts on the potential role of Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton as we get ready for the second half of the NBA season here. All-Star break came and went. We got our complaints out of the way. Now it's time to get back to the action. Right now, I want to continue to look at this pivotal Commanders offseason. What does being aggressive look like for the Washington Commanders? I keep saying it, 28 unrestricted free agents for this group. If you are Washington, I've got 13 guys listed right here that I am standing on the table for, that I'm banging on the table for. I need to bring these guys back. John Bates at tight end. Noah Igbinoghene at the corner spot. Cornelius Lucas as your swing tackle. Jeremy Chinn to be your starting strong safety. Another one that may surprise you all based on how I've talked about him previously. this young man, who I'm banging on the table for Washington to bring back, is going to be the best answer to a trivia question ever 10, 15 years from now. Anthony Haney, who caught Jaden Daniels' first career touchdown pass?
His first career?
First career touchdown pass. Come on, Ant-Man. You're supposed to know this.
Off the top of my Trent Scott?
Come on, man. Ding, ding, ding. Big Trent Scott.
Oh, against the Bengals.
Yes, sir. Big Trent Scott, the pride of Grambling. I think Washington's got to bring him back. Maybe it's not as a tackle, but when Sam Cosmi went down in that game against the Detroit Lions in the NFC divisional round, they kicked Trent Scott in at right guard and didn't look back. I thought he played excellent when he was inside at guard. I thought he did pretty well in the NFC title game, albeit going up against the human man-child Jalen Carter and Milton Williams and Jordan Davis. I thought he handled himself well. To me, he's another one of those guys that I bring back. And here's the thing with Trent Scott. It may not be the sexy splash signing, but you know, based off of what you saw last year, if somebody goes down and you need an offensive lineman off the bench in a pinch, Trent Scott's got it. See, here's the thing that we don't take into account enough, I feel like, with last year's team. After 29 years of the football gods not being on this organization side, I thought last year they were. When you think about the lack of impactful injuries that Washington suffered throughout the season, you'd have to think that next year, maybe, just maybe, that balances itself out. And I think, especially if it hits you up front, here's the other thing with Trent Scott. You're probably going to bring one extra lineman in the camp because you're not going to have Sam Cosmi ready and available for you. I'm saying not until October. I'm no doctor, but I'm somebody that's tore their ACL multiple times. I don't think we see Sam Cosmi play football for this team till October. So Trent Scott, to me, is somebody I'm bringing back. Casual fans may not know it. Tress Way, set to be an unrestricted free agent this year. Now, I'm not sure whether or not Tress wants to call it a career or not. I'd have to seriously doubt that that's the case. But he is somebody I got to bring back. And I know this is going to make people laugh out there because y'all feel like I hate this brother. Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota last year in spot duty in relief of Jaden Daniels, I thought, played as well as any backup quarterback in the National Football League. So much so that we had rumors, during Super Bowl weekend, that I think it was the Dolphins and the Raiders potentially interested in Marcus Mariota. I don't see him going to another team to be a backup. But if you look at the situation in Vegas with the Raiders, Chip Kelly hired to be the team's offensive coordinator. We know what those two were able to do at the collegiate level at Oregon. Does Marcus Mariota leave? Now, he's a guy you may have to overpay to keep some of these guys. But when you got the third most cap space in the NFL, you have the luxury to be able to do that. Marcus Mariota, to me, I got to bring him back. I got to bring him back. And I know it's crazy for me of all people to be saying that. But I think he earned the right to be here next year on the field and then off the field, in the quarterback room, in the meeting room, showing young Jaden Daniels how to prepare and be a pro. The other cat I'm bringing back, Noah Brown at the wide receiver spot. And this is where things get interesting. To me, Noah Brown was your second best wide receiver last year. And I know we may have revisionist history because of the injury that he suffered down the stretch. But shout out, I said it yesterday, man. Shout out to the pro scouts being able to find Noah Brown when they did on cutdown day, bringing him in. He won the week two game for you against the Giants. He damn near wins the game for you against Chicago, being on the receiving end of that Hail Mary. So Noah Brown, to me, is another one of those guys that fits the culture that Washington's trying to establish. We don't want divas at the wide receiver position in that wide receiver room. He's going to block. He's going to do the dirty work in the run game. He's going to be a good blocker for you in the screen game. And then what I like about Noah Brown, strong at the catch point. Right, I know he had some drops last year, but what was he really good at? Contested catches was his thing. And then his knack for drawing pass interference penalties last year. I don't know if it's something he works on, but it shows the veteran savviness that he has. Noah Brown, somebody I'm bringing back. Of the free agent wide receivers that we have, Noah Brown is someone I'm bringing back, and then the other one to me is Olamide Zaccheaus. If you were to tell me, I remember when they signed him last year, I thought, okay, he's a guy that maybe competes to be the fourth or fifth or sixth wide receiver on his football team. I think we saw it last year from a production standpoint, to get what you got out of him. I mean, it speaks to, one, what type of player and pro OZ is, but the plan that Cliff Kingsbury had in this offense for him. That's the thing about free agents. You can have guys that may not be household names, and you can have guys, for that matter, that are household names that come in and don't produce, and then you can have non-household names that come in and give you hella production. It's all about what type of plan your offensive coaching staff has for guys. I think OZ fits beautifully. Once again, right, with Noah and Olamide Zaccheaus. I'm not bringing OZ back to be my starting slot receiver. I'm bringing him back similarly to the role that I'm bringing Noah Igbinoghene back in. He is my first wideout off the bench if some sort of significant injury happens to this wide receiver group. So that's a guy that I'm bringing back. Nick Ballore, who I think led your special teams unit in tackles this past year, should have been a Pro Bowler at the position. We saw the tone he set for the special teams unit. I'm bringing him back. Shelton Day, I thought he played well in spot duty. And once again, right, I'm not bringing in Shelton Day to be my starting defensive tackle or my first backup for that matter. What I think we learned this past year about the defensive tackle position on this defense, considering how much they're rotating guys, in terms of starters, yeah, you got your first two that come out and start the game. But in reality, you need five interior defensive linemen that are going to be able to play a high volume of snaps for you based off of what we saw last year. So, of course, Shelton Day fits that. I just listed you 11 of Washington's 28 unrestricted free agents that I'm banging on the table for to bring back. There's two more that I bring back and two more that I omitted, two veteran guys that probably, and maybe we'll take your calls on this, at 301-230-0980. Two veterans to me that must be brought back, Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner. Now, I know some people may say, well, whoa, they're getting long in the tooth. They're older when it comes to the other starters around the league at their respective positions. But let's make the case for each of those guys. For Zach Ertz, you couldn't watch this team post-Thanksgiving and not see 86 flash across your television screen. I think what he did from a leadership standpoint doesn't get talked about enough. But color me somebody that owes him an apology, right? I'm somebody that probably should stand on this table out here at Cap One Arena and apologize to Zach Ertz. I was sitting right across from Chris Russell the day that they signed Zach Ertz to the 53-man roster, and I kind of brushed by it. It made me roll my eyes, if I'm being honest with you, because I thought, well, what could you get out of Zach Ertz at this point in his career? And you saw it throughout the back half of the season. Third down, red zone, who was Jaden Daniels looking for? It was Zach Ertz. So I think he just means too much from a production standpoint not to bring him back to your roster. The thing for me with Ertz is how much does he cost? The production was there, right? We know what he's going to bring you. He played all 17 games for you. My question is, how much does it cost? Joel Corey, one of the best cap experts in the National Football League, joined B. Mitch and Finley earlier today and had this to say about how much it may potentially cost to keep Zach Ertz in the nation's capital.
Yeah, Ertz was practically the lowest paid starting tight end on a veteran contract at $3 million last year as the base value. If you look at him statistically, he's not going to get this type of money, but it compares very favorably to Pat Freiermuth. Statistically, Hunter Henry, who is an older guy, Freiermuth signed for $12.1 million per year, but he's just, that was an extension of his rookie contract. Hunter Henry's at $9 million per year. I don't think you're going to go there.
That's Joel Corey, one of the best cap experts in the National Football League. So, hey, correct me if I'm wrong here. I want to see if you interpreted that the same way that I did. $9 million for Zach Ertz next year? Is that how you? That's how you took that?
I would say
the starting point for his negotiations.
I would probably say he'd probably be guaranteed like 6-7, and then he'd probably be able to like make up to like 9-10. To be honest, I think it would be an incentive laden, kind of deal.
So this is what interests me relative to bringing back Zach Ertz on these 1-year deals, and I'm glad that you brought up that key difference. If they sign him to a 1-year deal, let's just say, worth up to $9 million, $6 million guaranteed, and then if he's able to reach the clauses in his contract, so to speak, from a production standpoint, that it's 1 year, $9 million. What I look at with Zach Ertz is how much of the cap is he going to account for, right? Because if it's going to be a $9 million cap hit, whew, that is stiff for Zach Ertz. When you consider what he brings to the offense, I think it makes sense. The other key veteran that you all know I've been screaming for Washington to bring back is Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is going to be, I think, 34 next year when the season starts. Led the NFL in tackles, second team All-Pro. Thought he was excellent at times during the season. But one thing, and I'm not trying to slight Bobby Wagner at all, this is just what happens when you get older in age at the linebacker position. There are things and skills in his game that are going to ultimately deteriorate. To me, it was very evident what the problem was last year with Bobby Wagner. Sideline to sideline, playing the run, Bobby Wagner was a tick slow. We saw it in the NFC Championship game. Saquon Barkley, first play from scrimmage for Philadelphia, rips off a chunk run. Why? Bobby Wagner slow scraping over the top. So it isn't an indictment on who Bobby is. It's Father Time. It's undefeated. The only man that hasn't lost to Father Time is LeBron James. LeBron's the only one that's beat Father Time, as we're seeing him at 40 years of age, you know, continue to be arguably the best player in the NBA. But with Bobby Wagner, I think it gets interesting. The production lends you to believe that, hey, he may be able to go get a pretty decent contract on the free agent market. Joel Corey, cap expert, joined B. Mitch and Finley. He had this to say about how much it would take to bring back Bobby Wagner.
Last year you had Levante David sign a one-year deal for $8.5 million, up to $10 million with incentives. You had DeMario Davis sign for 2 years, average $8.625 million per year. Almost 14 was fully guaranteed at signing on the 2 years. Bobby's better than both of those guys, always has been. Mm. The cap has gone up 10%. At a minimum, to me, you adjust that deal for cap inflation and go from there. To me, I think he could ask for more, but to me, that should be his floor.
So about 10 mil for Bobby, and then does that sound like...
That's the floor. I think he could justify more because all he does is get honors each year. And if you put any stock, and some people don't, into the Pro Football Focus grades in their rankings, if you're the 42nd best player in their top 101, then you got to throw some of the age stuff out the window of him.
Mm. Strong stuff from Joel Corey, one of the best cap experts in the National Football League, giving us the skinny on how much it could potentially cost to bring back Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz. The cap hit for both of those two combined next year is going to be in the range of $20 million. Are you comfortable with that? 301-230-0980 is the number. I just ran through the free agents that Washington has in-house that I want to bring back. Joel Corey, one of the best cap experts in the NFL, says bringing back Ertz and Wagner could cost the Commanders close to $20 million against the cap. Is that something you're okay with? 301-230-0980 is the number. Your call's next. Stoff and show right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Liddell Willingham, sitting in for Craig Hoffman. He's back with you on Tuesday. We're live out at Cap One Arena, ahead of the Wizards' first game out of the All-Star break. They play host to Giannis and the Bucks. It's the return of Kyle Kuzma. So a big, big show planned for you here at Cap One Arena. If you don't got anything to do, we know y'all ain't got nothing to do on a Friday night, man. Y'all are sickos. That's why we love you all. Come check us out, Section 106 on the concourse at Capital One Arena. We'll be joined by Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network coming up at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. But right now, I want to go out to the phones. 301-230-0980 is the number. What does being aggressive look like this offseason for the Washington Commanders? I just listed 13 of 28 unrestricted free agents that I think Washington for damn sure should be eager to bring back. John Bates, Noah Igbe, Corn Lucas, Jeremy Chinn, Ertz, Trent Scott, Bobby Wagner, Tress Way, Marcus Mariota, Noah Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, Nick Ballore, Shelton Day. We'll let you hear from Joel Corey, one of the best cap experts in the NFL. He said it may cost the Commanders close to $20 million against the cap to bring back both Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner. Your reaction to that, plus who do you want to bring back that Washington has as an unrestricted free agent? 301-230-0980 is the number. Mark wants to chime in. What's going on, Mark?
How you doing? I love the show. Love good, the topic.
Man. Appreciate you,
man. I don't know how you can leave out Dante Fowler. There's no way in the world. 10.5 sacks.
Mark, let me say this. And let me say this, and I'll give the floor back to you. Because I love when people challenge me about Dante Fowler. Those 10.5 sacks that Dante Fowler had last year were the quietest 10.5 sacks you'll ever see. Why do you think he didn't play much during the NFC Championship game? He, to me, is nothing more than a situational pass rusher. On a good team, he only plays on third down. Because he had 10.5 sacks, right, Mark? I think maybe he may have priced himself out of Washington's price range when it comes to free agency.
I agree with that. I agree. He is situational, but he's situational with 10.5 sacks.
For sure.
You cannot take that away from him. That's a fact. He had an outstanding season. I understand what you're talking about, mm-hmm. but to me, he's a top three. Now, Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner, it depends on the length of the contract, okay? You got to bring them both back because they're both leaders. They're clubhouse guys. They're only a year. We need more of that foundation leadership captain to lead the way. It's part of the culture. But I don't want any more than a 2-year contract. Really, I'd like to get them on another year. I don't know what Ertz was. I know Wagner was a year, I believe.
Yeah, they both were on 1-year deals.
Okay, I love them. I doubt if we can get them for a year again, but hopefully, okay? Yeah. No more than two. But, you know, I like the depth at offensive line, especially with Cosme out. I love Trent Scott. I think he went a little one man too much on the offensive line because I think we're going to draft that. But so far, so good. But I just want to tell you I enjoy your show. I enjoy your delivery. And,
hey,
and I'm going to challenge you all I can.
Hey, I appreciate you. We welcome all challenges, Mark. I appreciate you chiming in. As always, my man, enjoy the weekend. 301-230-0980. The Dante Fowler discussion is interesting to me. I can agree with Mark. Yes, he is a situational pass rusher. 10.5 sacks are 10.5 sacks. But when I look at Fowler, I think the deficiencies that he has in the run game supersede what he brings to you as a pass rusher. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze, so to speak, for him as a run defender. So that's just how I look at it. 301-230-0980. The other thing real quick on Bobby Wagner as to why he has to be brought back, and I really don't care about the cap figure. Joel Corey mentioned it. Led the NFL in tackles, second team all pro. But here's this relative to Washington. Bobby Wagner played 98% of the defensive snaps last year. 98%. Bobby Wagner also wore the green dot on this Washington Commanders defense, meaning he is the one that called the defense every snap, week in, week out. I was asking, I think me and Craig talked about this during the season. I said, Craig, what the hell happens if Bobby Wagner rolls an ankle or goes down? Who wears the green dot? Who calls the defense? So for me, when you think about the leadership part of this thing and then his overall responsibility on the defense, I think it's a no-brainer, man. You got to bring back Bobby Wagner. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Lou wants to chime in. What's going on, Lou?
What's up, big dog? What's going on?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I thought it was a takeover like over, man. I was going to blow up this line every, 4 o'clock? After four, I guess, but nah, Anthony told me you were just coming in for a couple of days or whatnot. So, but yeah, as far as the free agents go, man, I know you want Bobby. I know some people want Zach, but look, man, we got to get younger, man. I get it. I know the leadership and all that comes to play. You know, you like the fact that you know he's one of the guys, you know, that make a defensive call. So, to me, if you see Philadelphia, they younger and faster. The only slow probably play, I can't even see a slow linebacker on that team is number 53, and he's fast. So, I mean, all we have is Frankie, and I mean, to me, I don't see the need for Zach to come back. I mean, the leadership and all that stuff, man, that goes out the window, man. Go sign somebody else that's going to elevate. Bring in Tyreek Hill. Bring in somebody else that could, you know, open up the field, man. Zach, I mean, he just too slow. He cuts the ball. He don't run, man. Why would you want to? I don't get it. I don't know.
Zach Ertz was one of the best tight ends in the NFL last year, man. When you think about what he did for this offense, I think the reason Jaden was able to have
5 yards.
It's not about yards, Lou. It's about first downs being converted. It's about touchdowns being scored, man. This is a guy that played at a Hall of Fame level last year, man. When you consider his age and where things currently sit with him, I think you got to be thrilled with what you got out of Zach Ertz. And I'm looking at it next year. The tight end market, man, you can't teach some of the things that Zach Ertz brings to the position. His veteran savvy, the body positioning. I mean, he put on a masterclass in the red zone last year, man. It didn't matter how big you were, how fast you were.
Right.
Zach Ertz was a tough cover, so I got to bring him back. Lou, I appreciate the call as always, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. Top of the hour coming up on the other side of this break. We're live out here at Capital One Arena ahead of Wizards and Bucks, the first game out of the All-Star break for the Washington Wizards. We're out here at Section 106. Make sure you stop by and say hello. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion and continue taking your calls. Joe Corey, one of the best cap analysts in the National Football League, projects that Washington, if they bring back both Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner, could cost them close to $20 million against the cap. Is that okay with you? Your call's next.